So we're learning to love and also to let things go. Love and let things go through observing the moment-to-moment changes in our lives, in our minds, in our consciousness, so that we don't cling and grasp the things so much. Inevitably, things move and change constantly, and we'll experience that, and we'll see it for ourselves. And we learn to let go, to let go. So let's begin tonight with our sitting practice. And first, find a way where you can sit. And Stephen has a little diagram that he can put up on the screen, just showing some simple ways to consider sitting. And there you go. Chair is fine. A lot of us have graduated to chairs, and there's a Burmese style where you have one leg on the mat and the other leg sort of folded up. There's benches. You can sit on a bench or sit on cushions with your legs under. Of course, then if you're really into it, the yogis can sit half lotus or full lotus. Thank you, Stephen. But the main thing about postures is to find a way where you can sit with your head, neck, and back in a relatively straight line. Some example is imagine your body is hanging from a coat hanger. And you're just like a suit of clothes hanging from the hanger. Or maybe a string attached to the very top of your head from the ceiling. And the string is just holding your body up that way, sitting straight like that. So it's a posture that's relaxed but also alert. And sitting in a way where you don't have to move very much. If you're sitting in a chair, maybe sitting toward the edge of your chair like I'm doing, the front of your chair. So it's a posture where you're not as prone to be sleepy. So taking your seat, that's the first instruction in our meditation practice. And then you can let your eyes close now if you like. If not, you can't. When you want to close your eyes, that's fine. You can sort of let rest on a gaze or a spot in front of you. So the first thing we do in the first lesson tonight on our practice is breath meditation. So we learn to gather our energy. Generally, when we first sit down or throughout the day, our energy is somewhat scattered. It's sort of all over the place. It's not really focused. So we gather our energy, and one way we do that is to be mindful of breathing. And often breath is used as a primary object for our attention, because everybody breathes, and so the breath then becomes a common thing that we can pay attention to, that helps gather and focus our attention. So get the feel for the breath. Just sort of now take a few deep breaths. Let's take 3 deep breaths. To breathe in, and then relax, just getting a feel of the sensations of the breath. Breathing in, breathing out. Just feeling the breath without visualizing it or conceptualizing it. Just letting the breath be there. And now allow your breath to just take its normal rhythm. Maybe fast or slow, shallow or deep. Doesn't matter. Just notice how the breath is right now without changing it or trying to control the breath. Just relax and settle back. Notice breathing in, breathing out. And then begin to notice the sensation of your breath. Gathering the energy a little more. One common place to experience the sensation of breathing is in the chest or abdomen. You can feel expanding, contracting sensations. Another common place to observe the breath sensation is at the nose tip. And feel the air touching the skin and the tip of your nose, just inside the nose. You may feel, experience a tingling or coolness. Warmth. Or the breath may be apparent to you somewhere else. So now bring your full attention to wherever you're experiencing the sensation of your breath. So that now the breath becomes your anchor, your primary object for your practice tonight. And choose one place and stay with it. Sometimes it's the tendency to say, oh, I'm not feeling it so well in my belly. Now I'm going to move to my nose. Oh, now I'm going to move back. So just don't do it. Just stay with wherever you choose to stay for the entire sitting without jumping back and forth. Just keeping the breath in the foreground of your attention. Sometimes it's helpful to make a soft note, just as you're feeling the rising or the in-breath. Soft note, rising, falling, in, out. Letting the naming be 5%, 95% experience. See if you can notice the very beginning of the breath, through the middle and the end of the in-breath and of the out-breath. Letting the breath be natural. When the attention leaves the breath, notice that, and without any judgment at all, gently bring your attention back to the breath again. Noticing all the subtle sensations of the breath. Staying relaxed, easy. Belly soft, eyes soft. Just settling together in this stillness. Let go of any sense of gaining anything, as Achan Cha says. Just being present right now with this breath. The future is a dream. The past has already occurred. We're alive right here, right now. Every moment in our lives has brought us right here to this point. This breath. Relax, release, come back to the breath. Nowhere else to be. Right here. If your attention wanders from the breath, that's okay. Just notice that. Without judgment, bring your attention back. The first insight you notice, perhaps, is that the mind has its own way, it goes its own way. Simply be aware of that and come back to the breath. Just feel what it feels like to settle back and just be with the breath. Feel your body and your mind relaxing with each breath. The insight into the present moment experience. Let go, let go. Just two more minutes. See if you can really focus on the entire breath. The space between the breaths. Very still now. Breath breathes itself.
How lucky we...
What's wrong with the sound?
Something's wrong with the sound. Now I'm not getting feedback. But how lucky we are that we're learning from Randy's voice. I mean, he has the perfect meditative voice. Stephen, would you mute all of us, please? And... We were taught by, with Jack and Joseph, and their voices, too, are so conducive to settling into the meditation practice. So thank you, Randy, for your voice. I'm sorry you're having to listen to this voice now.
Oh, shucks.
But anyway, another thing I forgot to mention that we think's important is to, not just to show up, but find a place in your home where there's no interruptions. Give that space, for you. Now, we all have animals. We don't have control over our animals, so let them be. That's not what we're talking about. We love to see the animals crawling all over us. So, we're beginning again. Imagine that. Milarepa, the famous Tibetan yoga, said, when he was talking about meditation, he said, hasten slowly. Hasten in the sense of being continuous, unrelenting in your effort. But do so with poise and equanimity. Persistent and full of effort, yet very relaxed and balanced. Hasten slowly. Another paradox or oxymoron that we run up against in this practice all the time. And really, many of the paradoxes in life are brought to our attention more and more as we practice and we begin to really get interested in finding out the truth. And because life is not as it appears, and so we're a lot more confused than we realize until we start opening ourselves to the truth. So tonight we begin to listen to lessons, and it's the beginning that some of us have heard before, more than once, more than twice. But what keeps it, Randy and I've heard it many, many times in the retreats we attended throughout the years. It was always for experience and new students, so that we always got a wonderful lesson many, many times of how to begin. But what keeps it fresh? I mean, what keeps it fresh for us, for doing, practicing for as long as we practice? Well, what keeps anything new? What keeps anything new? It's a real good question. And so we're listening. And I thought I would talk a bit about what our listening is conditioned, how it's conditioned. And these are statistics on listening. It says numerical order among the reasons that marriages fail. It's number one. Number one. And so the amount of time we spend listening is 45% of the day. And we catch it. Like right now, we'll catch 85% of what's been taught. But after we listen to it, retain maybe 50%. But after 2 or 3 days, we don't remember 20%. So I thought that was interesting, and I wanted to connect it, the scientific information, to the Buddhist teachings, because we're learning how to listen with the whole body, which places us in the present moment. And listening is the meditation practice. And so, because we are changing, everything is changing constantly, faster than fast, which is not obvious to us because it certainly doesn't seem that way. But we begin to understand that everything changes. And what keeps every moment fresh, and it doesn't matter what we're doing, what keeps anything fresh in our lives is the present moment. Present moment. Because thinking that we've heard anything before really is not the truth. Why? Well, we're not the same person. If we're changing every second along with everything else around us, then there's the newness. There's the newness. And if there's somehow that teaching can somehow teach us that everything is fresh, everything's new, and it's just our mind that's grabbing on to trying to make it other than it is. So we've heard the beginning instructions on how to sit with paying attention to the primary object. And that's important because in classic meditation, that strengthens our concentration. And the more and the steadiest we concentrate, the more clarity happens. So if we consider how scattered, how distracted, how out of the moment we may ordinarily be, we can see the benefit of gathering our attention and our energy, and especially developing in such a way where we're seeking the truth. And all of that energy could be available to us where we scatter ourselves, but usually isn't, because we throw it away with all the distractions. So we can gather all of that attention and energy to become integrated. That's what we're doing, to have a center, to not be fragmented, torn apart, to be empowered. And it does empower us. And in this practice, the breath we focus on is the normal flow of the breath in and out, not controlling it. It took me forever. You know, I realized it was difficult for me to let the breath be. I wanted to control it. I wanted to follow it, but I wanted to let it do like an exercise. But it's not a breathing exercise. We don't try to make the breath deeper or different. We simply encounter it however it's appearing. And it's changing just like everything else in our lives. And so that's important to remember. So what are some of the other aids that help us, especially when we're beginning again, anytime, really when we're meditating, is the silence. And I don't have to talk too much about that because that's the very first thing. Well, it's the first thing we hear from beginners or new students that they don't think they can do. And then after it's done, it's like, oh, the benefits, what we get from the silence is unlike what we get from chatter. So in the good posture, Anand Tupten this weekend talked about it, even in the Tibetan tradition, that I can't remember his words, but it's like it's a scientific position where it's the most conducive to stay awake and to be open. So there, it's not just there's a reason behind it. Another thing I've had to learn over and over again is patience. You know, we're not setting a goal, and anything in the past in our lives where we've tried to learn something more or even something new, we strive. We think, you know, we set up goals and we do what we do, and it's worked for us. But not in this practice. It takes patience. Patience. And that's a big one for me. And Randy mentioned, wherever we're feeling the sensations of the breath, we want to maintain that. In other words, not moving from one contact point to the other. So it's home. You know, we're creating a home within us. So patience, stillness, good posture. Keep bringing our attention back to the breath. But here's another aid, something that's important, without judgment. Because sometimes the breath is clear, sometimes it's deep, sometimes it's long, and sometimes it's short. And again, it's not a breathing exercise. It's a beginning exercise in mindfulness. So we don't want to control or force it. Just stay attentive to it. And so Spinoza, a Dutch philosopher, said, "All noble things are as difficult as they are rare. The spiritual quest we are embarking upon is a rare and precious undertaking." So be gentle, yet persevering through any beginning difficulties. And I got kind of off the topic of what I wanted to remind you, but it's judging ourselves. And especially when we're learning something new or we're relearning something, then that judging of ourselves is not useful. Because it is truly, and this is one of the hardest things to realize, is how we treat ourselves, how we are with ourselves in any situation, opens us to the truth. But when we are so angry at ourselves or disgusted with ourselves or frustrated with ourselves, it doesn't help anything, anybody, and certainly not ourselves. So the openness to this teaching have a lot to do with if you're practicing loving ourselves. And loving thyself. Well, it's not going to be the first or the last time you're going to hear it, but at least have an appreciation or at least honor this incarnation, this body, this vehicle that enables us to live through our six senses, including thinking, how we interact and relate to the world. So with time, this formal meditation, if we can establish it on a daily basis, and it doesn't matter how long, something happens. With time, this formal meditation and mindfulness and daily life come together. Something happens. It transfers or transforms. I don't know. But it follows us into our daily life. And building on the embodied presence of mindfulness like we're practicing, we never can lose it, or it's never lost. So really, mindfulness of the body, and we'll talk more about that, forms a backdrop for anything that happens. So it's building a bridge between the sitting practice and all the rest of our lives, all the other activities are coming our way. And that's good to know. You know, it's not just